to you this morning by Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. I get the opportunity to spend a little bit of time talking State House District 10 election politics with Kevin Stacy. And first of all, thanks for coming in this morning, sir. And you'd normally be starting a school year, but I think you've retired from that job.
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity. Before we get into talking about me and my vision for District 10, what a great community service KREG does to allow the candidates get in front of the community and its constituents and the voters and just learn about us. But today, actually Monday would be the day that Oklahoma Union starts school. After 29 years in education, it's bittersweet. I've had a lot of comments this week, I've been hanging out at the Interstate Fair and watching Oklahoma Union kids exhibit their projects, and still interested in them and their activities, and have had a lot of questions about how you feeling about not going to school this week, and it's been bittersweet.
My wife is a retired educator, and this is her second full year outside the classroom, and I'll say, yes, you miss the kids, but it's also nice to be able to do what you want when you want.
My anniversary was this week. We were married 33 years ago, August 2nd.
Congratulations.
And my wife asked me, did you think we'd ever make it 33? And I said, wasn't a doubt in my mind. But, you know, we've been together during the day more the last 30 days than we have in a long time.
It does change your habits.
And I said, honey, but I am worried about 35. So we both laughed and went on.
You are the opposing candidate in the Democrat primary. So, really, this is your first opportunity to be in front of the voters on a, at least radio basis. Because there was a contested race on the other side of the ticket that will be decided in about 12 days.
Yep. You know, I've had the opportunity to participate in a bunch of forums here at Bartersville, the League of Women's and the Bartersville Education Group, and Ramona put on one, and No Water had one, and so I've got an opportunity to speak to those that were at those forums, and got a lot of good feedback. Of course, my background is in education. 29 years, started at Delaware 2 years, and was at Oklahoma Union 27. I'm a 46-year resident of District 10. Graduated high school from Alloway, Oklahoma in 1981 with 10 classmates, including myself, nine gentlemen and one young lady.
Wow.
So left there and was the first grandchild to attend college on my mother's side, and about the third grandchild to attend college on my father's family. But went to NEO for 2 years, left there, went to Oklahoma State, graduated Oklahoma State in 1985, and married my beautiful wife in 1985, and started our family in Pryor. I ran a feed store at Pryor 3 years. Times change. Mm-hmm. In 1985, interview and receive an offer for ag teaching positions, there was 60 to 70 applicants for every job, and today you might have 10.
Yes.
So just picture that.
It's a story. Yours is a variation, but it's the same story from every superintendent I've talked to. Not only the number of applicants then compared to now, but to a certain extent the quality of the applicants.
Yes, sir.
You are hiring people now that you may not have even interviewed 20 years ago.
Yes, sir. That is exactly right. You hope you get one qualified applicant that you would feel good about in putting in a classroom educating your students.
My wife tells the story that one reason that she chose to retire when she retired was this matter of fact that the students are not the same students, so to speak, that they were when she started, and a lot more things are required of the educator today than what they were 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago.
Yes, you can say that. students are students.
Yeah.
Now they have different...
The personalities, yes, they're the same, but they're also interested in different things.
Yeah, they have different things pulling on their time and all that, but they're still willing and wanting to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to attack that in different ways.
Yeah.
But those resources are out there. If you have that qualified, passionate individual sitting in that seat,
mm-hmm.
and hopefully they've addressed that, the legislators, hopefully they addressed that a little bit last year with the pay raise.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that'll take time. It's not going to happen overnight. You know, it takes 4 to 5 to 6 years to run somebody through the process to get them certified to teach school. So hopefully that difference in pay will draw some young people into that field to become teachers,
and
that's what we need.
Exactly. And there are some that have left the profession for, I'm sure, a higher paying job. I'll pick on some of the employers that could be down the street, that a chemistry teacher would make more money doing actual chemistry as opposed to teaching chemistry.
That's in all fields.
Yeah.
You know, all fields, that all education fields, they can make more money in the private world practicing their trade or their passion.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, but they're not doing it for the money. I didn't become the ag teacher because I knew I was going to get rich. I started out at NEO as an engineer major, and in about 3 to 4 weeks I figured out that was not going to be my passion, and I wanted to do something that I enjoyed doing, that I was passionate about, that I would have fun at, and I would have a better quality of life if I did that. And that was teaching ag education.
Legislator, probably now the longest job interview you've ever had.
Yep.
As you're out there knocking on doors and hopefully finding people home to be able to carry on a conversation with them so they can get to know you and you get to know them.
Yeah, I'm having a ball. Of course, a lot of doors I've knocked on, the people that answer know me. But what's good about it, I may not have never knew where they lived. Now I know where they live, and we've had good conversations. Some of them will say, you know, you've got my vote. So we talk about other things. But you'd be surprised, even in the areas close to my house and those communities, those individuals have no clue who I am, even though I've been there 46 years and in the position I've been in. And those people have been really receptive. You know, I approach them by introducing myself and then asking what would be their priorities and their concerns when I'm elected to this position.
Mm-hmm.
And education has been 90% the number one thing mentioned. Funding education, providing the resources needed for those individuals to do their job. Healthcare, mental health care services, treating those that are in need,
mm-hmm.
has been another priority. You get a little bit about criminal justice reform. Of course, that's in the news, mm-hmm. right now, with us being the highest per capita of locking our individuals up in prison.
Sure.
Instead of maybe trying to help and rehabilitate and train instead of punishing them, let's help them, and maybe that will stop that cycle of locking them up in prison.
And we'll spend a little bit more time with that, and some of the other issues as we talk with Kevin Stacey. We'll continue on a Community Connection coming up in just a minute.
If you're suffering from a bad back, bad knees, need a hip replacement, call the Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, 918-494-9300. With a large number of only the best qualified specialists on staff, EOC is able to provide better care than anyone else in Eastern Oklahoma. I should know. I had my back surgery in 2012 with a degenerative disc between L4 and L5. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center took me through a step-by-step process, which now, after surgery, I am leading a normal life. Get back to your normal life. Whether you're in need of back surgery, hip replacement, knee surgery, or knee replacement, trust your happiness to Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. Ask your doctor about EOC or call for a consultation. 918-494-9300. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. We're located in the Natalie Building at 6475 South Yale in Tulsa.
AM 1400 K1, and we still got about another 8 or 9 minutes with Kevin Stacey this morning to talk with him about issues. And again, he is a candidate for the State House District 10 seat. And so far, we know that for what you're hearing, and I think it's common knowledge, education is the major topic of this election statewide. And certainly you come from a educator background, but you mentioned some of the other top issues. People being able to keep their money and yet fund essential programs of government, that's always a balance as far as keeping taxes as low as possible or as low as reasonable and still pay for roads and streets and law enforcement and all the other things that are essential functions of government.
Yes, you know, it's I'm as conservative, even though I'm a Democratic candidate,
mm-hmm.
I'm as conservative as you are, I guarantee you, or the next person. I want to keep as much of what I've worked hard for as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But I also understand that if we want to provide better opportunities for our senior citizens, our students, provide a better opportunity for our residents to be employed in a job that provides them with a livable wage, that gives them opportunities to succeed in their career, we have to be willing to invest in Oklahoma. And I'm not saying that's through tax increases.
No.
So let's throw tax increases off the table.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say we're not going to raise taxes, which I have no problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
Then we've got to address the issue of, are we giving too much money away? Are our tax rebate programs outdated and need to be reformed and looked at? You know, in my opinion, if we give a dollar to a business or a special interest group as an incentive to get them to do something in Oklahoma, we should expect at least a dollar and a half return. If we're not making 50 cents on that dollar, it might not be a good investment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sure not going to be a good investment if it's one for one.
And I think to elaborate on what I believe you're saying, also to look at it, you know, yes, it might have been a good investment 5 years ago, but do we still need to keep investing in it?
That is exactly right. Exactly yeah. Right. Now, the wind industry has been taking the brunt of that tax rebate program.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason that is the wind industry is the only rebate program that we write a check to. There are other tax incentive and rebates, if you want to call them that, out there,
mm-hmm.
that I've tried to find that dollar amount. And there's no way to find a dollar amount on a ad valorem tax break to a industry that moves into Pryor, Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
I can't find it. There's no data for that. So tacking the industry, wind industry, I don't think is viable. That industry has saved communities in Western Oklahoma. There are school districts out there because of the wind industry that take no state money. So that benefits Oklahoma Union.
Mm-hmm.
That means there's more money in the pie that's going to be distributed amongst schools that are more state dependent on aid.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to be practical in the way we approach those things. You know, I've really termed the phrase that you would probably call me a practical conservative.
Okay.
You know, and that means is I want to keep all I can, but I'm practical enough that we can starve the cow to death.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be willing to evaluate those things that are not working and the ones that are, and be more efficient in how we approach funding government.
You mentioned you're talking to the two constituents as you meet them at their home, and I know you're going to be have plenty of opportunities between now and the November general election to talk specific issues. What else are you hearing from people when you knock on the door? Obviously, we're talking education. We've mentioned that already, and some of the other functions like justice reform and that sort of thing.
Yeah, criminal justice reform has probably, it's not been as high a conversation or topic point as education and healthcare, but it does come up. You know, we it's in the news. We're the highest per capita mm-hmm. of locking people up yep. in the world, in the United States, per thousand. That's really something to be proud of, number one. You know, so that means that...
It does mean the police are doing their job. Yeah, we'll question whether the courts are.
That's right. So we are finding... And I understand people make bad decisions. And people that continually to make bad decisions will have to suffer those consequences. But if you've got a young couple that either the mother or the father made a bad decisions, and they've got a couple children, and you arrest them, you take them to jail. They may have had a job or they may not, but let's say they had a job. So we take them to jail, they probably lose their job.
Mm-hmm.
They probably take their children away from them and put them in foster care. So all of those things are now costing Oklahoma even more.
Mm-hmm.
So in instances like they're not violent, they're good young couple that for some reason was in a spot that they felt like they had no way out, and they made a bad decision. We focus more on punishment, I think, than we do on helping and rehabilitation of those individuals and put them back in society, let them be a member of society that is productive and helps us move Oklahoma forward.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes effort, and hopefully we can get there. It'll take legislative action.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to take some things that we're going to have to change some policies and legislation that we put in effect that if you get arrested for this, you're going to get this amount of time.
Right.
Some of that that might be outdated.
And just along that same issue, legislative action, or maybe I'll say funding priorities, which is also legislative action, to say, and I'm just not trying to put words in the candidate's mouth, but as we look at the mental health issues that are related to what would put someone in the court system.
Yeah, those are... mental health issues are tough on families and tough on the individuals. Unfortunately, most families have dealt with that in some form or another. And the cuts that we've seen to all state agencies probably has affected the mental health services more than any agencies that we've had. The loss of funding through those agencies has reduced services, reduced treatment, reduced identification, and we have more issues with that group of individuals, and families that have those are seeing that and they're lost. They don't have any avenue to turn to.
Yeah.
So that comes back with funding core services. I've had a few questions about auditing agencies.
Mm-hmm.
and agencies are audited all the time. And the question, I believe in that. You should be accountable for the funds that are allocated to you, and the people that are in charge should do their best due diligence of spending those resources the best they can.
Yeah.
No different than a superintendent of the schools.
Mm-hmm.
We're audited every year.
Yep.
The amount of money we get and the amount of money we spend. Now, how we spend it, not necessarily. But everything's coded.
Mm-hmm.
Of how we spend.
We know how it went. Now, yeah. Why we may or may
yeah.
not.
Yeah, that's my decision in the Board of Education and so forth. But my response to that is, education was cut 29%. Most state agencies have been cut 40% in their revenue from 2008.
Mm-hmm.
If I cut your salary 40%, are you going to have much waste?
Probably not.
So I don't think we have much waste in state government. That waste has been trimmed out because of the budget shortfalls we've had. Now we need to be diligent. We need to make sure that we're overseeing that and things are being spent and allocated the proper way.
Mm-hmm.
But they have appointed a new auditing oversight committee.
Mm-hmm.
Cost $2 million. But we cut our auditing services 40%. Gary Jones' offices was cut 40%.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a hard time. We cut them 40%, and then we start another committee that cost $2 million. So, and complained about the job that he was doing, but we cut his services. So,
yeah.
We'll work through it.
Okay. We're talking with Kevin Stacey, candidate for State House District 10, and certainly I want to at least give people the opportunity to connect with you, whether it's via email or via website or social media. I know you're out there because I've seen some of your posts.
Yeah. Well, you can, first of all, my phone number. Call me, 918-273-8087. That's probably the easiest and mm-hmm. most simple way for us to talk one-on-one or set up a time to meet and drink a cup of coffee and discuss your concerns. I'm willing to do that. So feel free to call me. I do have a Facebook page. It's Kevin Stacey for House District 10. Look that up, like that, follow on some comments along that line. And then I also have a website, stacyforhousedistrict10.com. I have a young lady that takes care for that. This is kind of an agriculture campaign. Mm-hmm. One of my ag teacher's wives is my marketing agent, and one of the other ag teacher's wife is my treasurer. My two ag teachers have been at every event that we've been to. Of course, they're passionate about their job just as much as I am. This is all about service.
Mm-hmm.
I think this position is not about personal gain. It's not about improving your statutes in the community, or it's about serving the people in this community.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I'm a little different than most of them. I'm retired and I'm drawing a pension now.
Since you mentioned the relationship with those teachers, I was going to make sure that we did get that out there, that you are a retired superintendent. There was no undue influence on
that. That's right. Yeah. No, this was a spur. This was not on my bucket list. I announced Thursday at State Capitol in a meeting with Travis.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the frustrations of lack of urgency, I felt like in the current legislators we have of finding revenue sources to fund state government. But after saying that, being retired, I'm in a little different situation, and I have committed that when I'm elected, for however many years I'm elected, half of my salary will be donated to a public school in District 10. We'll put their names in the hat. Ideally, we'll do it at the Patriot event, at the big banquet.
Yep.
We'll draw their name out, and that's who's going to get the money. Half of that $38,000 or whatever it is after taxes, they'll get it. Now, my background is in ag education. If they've got an ag education program, I'd like for half of that to go to that program, and then the other half go to the choir, the academic team. I want it to go to activities that will help kids explore outside of the classroom.
Excellent.
So, that's my goal.
Thank you so much. We'll talk again between now and election day. And again, we're talking with Kevin Stacy. He is the Democrat candidate for the State House District 10 seat. And regardless of your registration, vote when you get the opportunity, whether it's this primary or the November general election.
Yeah, amen. Do that.
Thank you, sir. That's a Community Connection on 1400 K1. The Overcomers on the way next from Voice of the Martyrs. And The Overcomers brought to you by Brian Little, Haley and Kent CPA.
Hi, I'm Todd Nettleton, and this is the Voice of the Martyrs Radio. You won't find their homeland marked on many maps, but in the